This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today we got Chet Hanks in the building.
Thanks for having me, bro.
I'm excited, man.
Hell yeah. Long time coming.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Long time coming.
I didn't even realize that you did Impulsive. I didn't watch it, but I saw it, and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, they got it, like, right at the heat of the COVID shit.
Yeah, that was like in January or February.
Was Logan Paul sticking a fucking Q-tip up your nose or anything?
No. Okay. It was cool.
They went with some pretty crazy clickbait on that, though.
That was fun, man. That was cool. Logan's a good dude.
You think about joining the low gang? He doesn't say that anymore, does he?
There's a lot. I mean, there's, is that what they call it? I don't know.
It used to be the low gang was like Logan's crew of people.
Really?
Yeah, like all his homies and stuff.
Yeah,
all
right, I mean, he's got a lot of. There's a busy house over there. They got a lot of dudes working in there.
I think he's selling his house in Encino.
Yeah.
So things about to change a little bit.
Yeah.
When I first went there and there was a security guard just sitting out in front and he told me it was because he had stalkers coming like every day.
Wow.
That kind of let me know like what Logan Paul's really on. He's a big name out here.
It's crazy, bro. That Mayweather fight was nuts.
Yeah, that took a totally different level. You got to have a fight in the works, right?
I don't, but like I've been kind of feeling like it's that might be something that happens at some point, and I'm totally down.
It's got to happen, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it seems like it's cool because if you really think about it, like the Paul brothers like are basically making it so that people who aren't boxers can make like boxing bags,
right?
Which is really fucking tight, you know,
right?
Like. Just any, you know, kind of celebrities now. They kind of open the door for, like, any celebrities to be able to make, like, a lot of money from boxing, like, which is fucking cool. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I mean, if the opportunity presented itself, I might do it, you know?
Like, everybody stopped fighting. You know, like, people used to kind of, like, fight in the street, I feel like, was more of a thing at a certain point. And now everybody, like, with social media, nobody's going to just scrap. But, like, you know, I think that's pretty cool that, like, now with the whole boxing world, you can just get paid to do something that people used to kind of do for free.
Yeah, or you had to like, I mean, I don't know how much money they're making for those fights, but I'm sure it's like, I mean, I know it's like a really nice chunk of change, and like think about it, like before them, like you had to actually dedicate your life to being a boxer in order to make that kind of money from boxing,
right?
And now you can just be famous.
If you did that, then that would pretty
pseudo celebrity.
If you were a real boxer, it would pretty much eliminate you from the conversation of boxing, like a Logan Paul or a Jake Paul. No offense to them. Well, I mean, they have honestly taken it really serious, so I don't want to necessarily put them in the, like, couldn't compete with a real boxer at all category.
I think they're legit boxers now. Like, I for sure feel that way about Jake, and, like, after seeing Logan, how he fought against Floyd, it's like, dude, like, I couldn't imagine, like, fighting against the best boxer, like, of all time, like...
Mm.
Yeah, and doing that well, going the full rounds, and like, I mean, like, that's incredible. Like, they're full fledged boxers in my book.
Yeah, who do you think that they would put you against?
I have no idea.
Hmm.
I don't know.
There's nobody you got a score to settle with.
DJ Vlad.
Oh, that's a brilliant
idea. I beat the shit out of Vlad.
You didn't like that clip that came out of him talking about you, huh?
I mean, that dude's a weirdo, like, and I definitely beat the fuck out of him. He definitely doesn't want to fight me.
We already talked about the idea of me fighting Vlad, and he made it clear that he's, like, not really, I think he has, like, a thing with his arm or something.
That was, like, dude, he, like, really, like, he's so butthurt about me, like, for something, like, okay.
You
like,
bailed on
I saw that
with
clip
him.
With him talking to you, and that was, like, it really, like, made me laugh, because it's, like, he like, brings my name up, like, in situations that get, like, have nothing. He can't let it go,
right?
Like, and this is all because, like, in like 2014 we scheduled an interview.
2014,
it was in 2014, bro.
I'm thinking that he's talking about like a year ago.
No,
my god,
this is so fucking long ago, dude. This is in 2014. We had an interview, And then at the last moment, I guess I just like got cold feet. I didn't feel comfortable going. So I just hit him. I'm like, hey, man, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to make it. And he's still butthurt about it. He's still like, he's like, like trying to shit on me like every chance he gets, like talking to people that have nothing to do with me. He's like, and then Chet Hanks, you know, like, it's like, bro, why are you like...
I had never really heard him be that aggressive about somebody. Usually he keeps it a little political, but yeah, he definitely went in on that one. And I was surprised because I was like, you know, if you wanted to interview him, then to me, it's like, if I want to interview you, then I kind of can't just like shit on you afterwards, because by it's like a girl that you're fucking and then you're going to afterwards say like, you're ugly, you're a piece of shit. Well, you were fucking her. So like, you kind of can't really like take the high ground there. Right.
It is. It's just like, dude, let it go. You know.
Yeah.
It's like, he's really, really still upset. It's pretty funny.
I think we should definitely make that fight happen, though. Although I don't know. Does he count as a white boy? Is he up for the white boy summer as a Russian Jew? Who's definitely not really
how
a boy.
How old is he? Is he like 50? It might not be like. I might need to think of a more fair fight.
I think he's a solid 40.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's got to be a couple other good ones out there. They would probably love to see
aged.
Us fight.
He looks pretty aged.
If we got a mil each, would you be down?
For sure.
That would be crazy.
Yeah. Wouldn't you be for a meal?
Hell yeah. That'd be fun as fuck. The weird part would have to be like, you know, publicly hating each other, like dissing each other.
I guess you got to sell the fight, you know?
Yeah. But you have to, dude.
Yeah.
I would have to like really be out there. But that's what I always wonder is like, what's that like behind the scenes? Like where they just sort of sit around and just like plot on like, okay, so at the press conference I'm gonna push you, and then you do this, and you're gonna say this about my mom, but please don't say anything about my dad because my dad has cancer, or like, you know, they're like putting rules in
you
place,
think so?
Right?
You
I think so.
So
yeah,
I don't know. I could also see it just be like unspoken, off the cuff, and it's just kind of like, it's kind of understood that you gotta shit on the other dude.
But when I was interviewing Bryce Hall, I said something about how his relationship seemed, how Austin McBroom's relationship seemed kind of fake or whatever, and I noticed that like Bryce Hall like wanted to say the same thing, but he was holding back and he wasn't like speaking freely in that moment, and that made me very much feel like Austin told him that was like off limits, like you can't question the validity of their relationship or something.
Really? Yeah,
which makes sense to me.
I don't know enough about that exchange. Yeah. I don't
pay attention to that one?
No.
Basically a TikTok kid and a YouTube vlog family guy.
Yeah. I ran into Bryce Hall though at a party the other night.
Right.
And I was like, hey, you know, like, I mean, despite like people talking shit, but it's like, it takes a lot of balls to go and fight like in a ring in front of all those people. So I was like, I gave him some respect. Like, you know,
if you fought him, that would be pretty epic.
Yeah. I mean, he already,
he's a young gun.
Yeah.
When I saw him in Austin, I was like, that's old man strength right there. Like he just, you know, Bryce still just kind of looked like a young, smaller guy, and Austin really looked like somebody who was like a big man.
Really?
Pause. This sounds so gay, but yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, man, you get out there a lot. Like I've just been inside because of COVID. I'm trying to get back into the groove of like going out in public and shit. I feel like you're very good at it.
I'm kind of inconsistent with it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, same. I mean, I was like everyone all locked up during COVID and shit. And then, I mean, it should just open back up like what, like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, officially. But you didn't wait till 2 weeks ago, right?
I mean, yeah, I kind of did, dude. Like I wasn't, you know, I wasn't like going out or anything.
Were you like excited about hitting the streets now just because?
Yeah, I was, but now it kind of feels like back to normal already.
Really?
You know, the excitement is like, it's already kind of like, you know.
Not normal. Going out in public like that for a year really like set me up to feel excited about leaving the house again.
Yeah. I'm mostly just excited that it's summertime and it's like nice out. You know, I love summer, and I love summer in LA.
I agree with that, but it's so oppressively hot right now. It's kind of hard for me to enjoy it when I'm sweating my face off at 7 in the morning in my garage working out. And I'm like, this is the cold part of the day.
Yeah.
It's only going to get worse from here for sure. Okay. So where do you feel like you're at in life? Because, you know, it's like a year ago, it felt like you were on a full tear, like really going crazy on social media and stuff. And like, you know, the white boy summer movement was in full effect. Like
that was only a few months ago.
That was only a few months ago.
Yeah. I mean, like a year ago, like
it feels like
I know.
A while
I mean,
ago.
I have been like going viral on social media for like about a year.
Right.
But the white boy summer shit only happened.
You're right.
Like,
okay. That
like
wasn't that
few,
long
like
ago.
2 months ago.
So that was for this summer.
No, but then like a year ago, it was like the Jamaican shit and
right. So you like track your life in terms of like these viral segments, right?
It kind of feels like that sometimes.
Does
but,
it?
Yeah, I mean, no, but it's like basically like where I'm at is, you know, like the first viral moment was with the Jamaican accent, and that was like a year ago. It was actually right before COVID happened.
So you don't count the like, what is it, White and Purple song back in the day? Like those,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Those don't count as viral in your mind, or was that just so small comparison?
They do, but that was like a different era.
Yeah, okay.
That was like a different, I mean, that's like 10, that's like over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So it was just,
it's I was just going back to that. I'm like, man, this dude was just having a good old time in college, huh?
Yeah.
But at that time, had that even occurred to you of like, oh, if I make a rap song, it's going to go viral as fuck?
Not at all, dude. Mm. Not at all. Not none of this shit. Not, this is like 100% true that like none of the viral moments I've had were expected or planned. Like I never, that's the thing about like, you know, like going viral or whatever. It's like, it's not something you can control. It's not like something you can like willfully make happen. It's like catching lightning in a bottle, you know? It's like if you're trying to go viral, then you're not going to go viral.
Right.
But if you're just like being yourself and some spontaneous like funny shit happens, then that's what goes viral.
Right. Like it you could know? Just be like a fucking glance that somebody throws you. That, like now shit, in order for it to go viral, it has to be so real. It has to feel real because people are so set up to think that everything is fake.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think it's just about being yourself, you know?
Mm.
Like when I like... That's how it's all happened for me, just from being myself and just like fucking around and like not taking shit serious. Like just, you know, just joking around, having a good time and just not taking life so serious. You know, I feel like that those are the main components. Because when you're trying to go viral, when you're like trying to force it, it just doesn't really work that like that.
Right.
You know?
It's funny because like coming from my world of just like being around a lot of people who are sort of like don't really like have anything going for them, like the viral shit. Like normally when you see somebody going viral on Instagram, it's like they were nothing before that. Like nobody had ever heard of them. I feel like you just carry like a strange thing about the viral shit because you kind of come from a place where that's kind of looked down upon or looked at as like an easy way of getting attention. Would you say that's true?
Well, it's definitely kind of like, I kind of know what you mean in the sense that like, you know, like just like my family being like who they are and like super like A-list, you know, it's kind of like, you know, there's kind of like a path that comes with that of, you know, like being like, you know, kind of like if I wanted to follow like in those footsteps, there's kind of like a certain kind of like decorum that, you know, like you're supposed to carry yourself with like in general. And that's just not me, you know,
right.
You know, that's just, it's not me. So it's like, I can't try to be something I'm not anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Like
definitely. Like it feels like a lot of like actors and shit, there's just like that, like a lot of pressure on you to not really have a personality publicly outside of just being like, I'm good looking and famous and I could just willfully put myself into any role. You know, it's like you kind of want your personality to be so simple that people can imagine you as anything, right?
Oh yeah. It's kind of like in the typical like rule book, like for being like an A-list actor, you're supposed to like basically like be as anonymous as possible.
Right.
Like a lot of actors don't even have social media.
You do a movie and then you go away for a year, you know? And then you come back, you're in another movie, but like in that in between,
but no one sort of, they only see you in the characters that you are. They don't see you as who you know what I mean?
Right.
Like think about like Leonardo DiCaprio, like he has an Instagram, but all it is like environmental shit. It's like trying to, you know, put exposure on like environmental crisis and stuff. Like he doesn't post videos of like, hey, I'm at Starbucks. You know what I mean?
But like, even that for him is kind of like a big deal because just that like average person in his position is not using their social media that way. But if he was on the other side of things, like his politics are like approved by the machine. If he was a Trump supporter, he would be banned from the fucking industry if he was putting that shit on his social media all the time, right? I mean, we all know it's true.
Hollywood is extremely liberal. Yeah. You know, yeah. Hollywood is extremely liberal. And then there are some celebrities that are conservative. But, and then I think there's some of them that just don't really express their political views, and then there's some that do, and yeah, for sure, kind of the ones that do are probably are blackballed a little bit, it does seem like, you know.
Oh yeah, it's like that where, yeah, you know, like when I go around my fucking neighborhood, I just notice that like there's mad BLM signs and Biden signs and shit, and I'm just thinking like, y'all own like $1 million houses. I know that there's many Trump supporters that live in this neighborhood, but they would never dream of putting a sign up, you know?
I mean, who knows?
And I say that as a not a, a Trump guy at all, but it just, yeah, you know, it just stands out to me that like, damn, there's like a real silenced percentage of these people that just are never going to share their political beliefs because they just know what'll happen to them.
I mean, maybe, maybe not. I mean, I think that like kind of like in California, you know, it's like a blue state. Most people are liberal. You got other states, red states, you know, it's just different ways of life, different strokes for different folks. And I think a lot of it is just dependent on geography, really. Mm. You know what I mean? Like you go to fucking, you know, you go, you go to Texas, it's like people like live a different lifestyle than, you know, like than fucking here, you know. Or,
if you drive to San Francisco, you're going to see a whole shitload of Trump signs. And like, you know, it's not like you see a lot of houses, but like those areas in between here in San Francisco, they're all fucking Trump voting counties.
I think it's
shit,
just,
I think.
Dude, I really think like, honestly, my personal political beliefs, I consider myself a complete moderate. Mm. I really don't buy into the two-party system at all. Like, I think it's honestly, like, terrible. Like, I feel like any person with common sense is going to be able to see things they like and dislike about both sides. Mm. And that it's, like, we have to find, like, a middle ground here. Like, you know what I mean? That's just logical to me. You know what I mean? Because it's, like, what I hate about, like, how everything's politicized today is that it's like you got to pick a side and then accept everything that goes, mm-hmm, everything that goes along with that side. People are just supposed to, you know, like drink the entire Kool-Aid of whichever side they pick, even if it's shit that they don't really agree with. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, you know what I mean? Like, because I for sure feel like there's good and bad things about each side, you know?
But like, it's like, okay, if you tell me how you feel about abortion, then I know how you feel about mass.
But see, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, I believe that women should be able to get abortions if they want, and that no, like they should be able to have, that they shouldn't have anybody tell them what they can and can't do with their body. Right. And I also believe in like the right to bear arms, and that like
exactly,
this is,
yeah,
one of the great things about America is that we can have weapons. You know what, mm-hmm, I'm saying? So it's like, I'm a person who's like, you know, like that's supposed to be like, I'm right in the middle. So like most people are supposed to pick a side and then go, okay, well, I want to have guns, so then I'm going to be, you know, pro-life. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like where's the middle ground? And I feel like until like America, like as a country, like truly like finds like the middle ground, like together as a whole, like we're going to be fucked because we're just going to keep on going back and forth over like petty bullshit, you know?
But that's like the effect of social media is that it amplifies the extreme beliefs so that there's like really no room for people who are in the middle, or anything in the middle doesn't stand out. Like the people that you see on social media who are blown up are the far ends of the spectrum. Yeah. And that convinces both sides. Like, you know, people on the right are like, oh my God, they're trying to indoctrinate our kids into believing that they're racist when they're 4 years old. And then the people on the left are like, oh, they want to make sure that trans kids have no health care. And like, you know, it's just like the extreme reality is that like neither of those are actually true. But like the one person on the right who said that is going to be the one who gets all the attention.
Everything
and
is blown up to
versa.
Extremes. And you got the media just sensationalizing it even more, you know, like the media is just like pouring gas on the fire for those extremes. But it's also kind of like, I feel like we're getting to the point where people are just kind of like, especially our generation, are like tuning out and just not even giving a fuck about that. You know what I'm saying? Like people are getting to the point where they like see through the bullshit, and they see through that like the shit on the news like isn't necessarily the truth. And it's like, you know, like, you know, we're like the only show on the news, the shit that they want to report about. And there's other shit happening in the world that you know, like that isn't spoken about at all, but like is extremely significant. And it's like, well, how come y'all aren't reporting on that, about this shit that's going on? And fucking on the 6 o'clock news, instead we get like, there was a parade where the, you know, like a new Dalmatian from the fire department was the head of the, you know what I mean? It's like, that's the news.
When I was a kid, there was a lot of shit like that in the news of like, oh, look at the fire department. They got a new dog.
You know what I mean? Like, meanwhile, this crazy shit's happening on the other side of the world, but they're not reporting about that. So I feel like people are starting to see through that. And, dude, I really feel like, honestly, like, with our generation, like people are pretty fucking chill with each other, and people are pretty, like, you know, like, it's really love, and, like, people are more united than what the media makes us out to be, like, you know? Mm. You know what I mean?
Well, it depends where you go, though.
Yeah.
Because when I'm, like, I remember, like, during the protests and stuff, I'm just like, that's the last thing I want to do is go stand around in the street with a bunch of people who fucking hate each other and are, you know, like, the most polarized part of the world. Whereas, like, if you go to the average bar or whatever, it's like you just are not going to encounter this kind of animosity.
Right,
but
right.
Then you go, like, I just personally, like, couldn't imagine myself going into that and just wanting to be all up in the shit. I'm sorry. I'm just not taking my freedom for granted or anything, and, like, just putting myself in that kind of situation seems nuts.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy when like, everything was getting looted.
Mm.
Like, when Santa Monica got looted, which is, like, where I'm from. It's, like, where I've grown up my whole life.
Right.
And, like, the word was getting around that it was about to be looted, and I was like, that's where I lived. So I was at home, and I was like, everything's about to get looted. And I was like, well, I want to at least go see this shit, you know?
Yeah.
So I actually, like, went. I mean, I didn't do any looting, but, like, I was out on the street, like, from the beginning of, like, the first, like, brick going through a window to, like, the end of it where everything was just, like, totally destroyed and decimated. Like, I saw the whole thing, and I was just out there just observing, like,
yeah.
And it was really crazy, bro. Like I was like, it was pandemonium, you know? Because I was just like, fuck it, I'm not going to stay at home. I want to go see what's happening, you know?
See, and I never
that
felt
was, that
older.
Was a wild experience.
At that moment, I felt old as fuck because I was thinking the same thing of, like, I want to go fucking be out and about and see all this crazy shit going on. But then, like, I literally have my pregnant-ass fiance next to me. She's just like, no. Like, you're not going out. And we're in the middle of a pandemic. I'm like, okay, that does seem reasonable. I don't know how I can really argue with you on that.
Yeah, definitely not with the pregnant fiance.
Yeah, that's it. Suck though, because I was like really kind of trying to get out there, but then she wouldn't let it happen.
Yeah.
Mm. What else have you got going on in your life right now? What has Chet Hanks incited right now?
I'm just going all in with the music.
Mm. I was listening to that new song.
Yeah.
I fuck with it.
Damn. Thanks, bro.
Damn, was solid.
Thanks. Yeah, I got a bunch more that I'm just gonna keep putting out. I recorded a bunch of music, and we're just shooting more videos, and I'm just going to keep just being consistent and putting it out. It's kind of crazy how it all happened, because, like, I had pretty much, like, completely, like, just kind of given up on doing music.
Right. You stopped for a while, right?
Yeah, a long time. I mean, like a long time.
Uh-huh.
And I just kind of forgot about it, but just, like, the way circumstances happened, just kind of, you know, got back into it.
Why'd you get back into it? What happened?
Because the white boy summer shit, like, when that went viral, like I said, like, I was not planning on that going viral at all. But when it did, I kind of felt like, and, like, my homeboy, like, told me, he was like, because it's like, I got, you know, I'm at the point where it's like, okay, like, what do I really want to be? Like, do I just want to be, like, an internet, like, comedian? No, you know what I mean? I don't. Like, I want to do something more than just be, like, a funny guy like you see on Instagram, you know? Mm. So my boy was like, when the white boy summer shit was happening, he was like, dude, like, you need to, like, make a song, dude. Like, white boy summer needs an anthem.
Right.
You got to make a white boy summer anthem. And I was like, damn, dude, you're right, you know? I really do. Like, that is the best way, like, to, pivot this. And I was like, fuck, you're right. But I really had no idea how I was going to do that. Like, how I had no, like, confidence about it, because, like, I had given up on music for so long. I hadn't, like, rapped or, like, got in the booth like that in a long time. So I, like, had no, like, actual, like, confidence that I'd be able to, like, pull off, like, a dope song like that. But it just so happened that, every shit worked out, because I just, you know, I didn't have nothing prepared, nothing written down, no beats, nothing, like, no studio. But when he said that, I was like, fuck, you're right. Like, I gotta at least give it a shot. Like, let me at least get in the studio and try to, like, come up with something. So I fucking, I got on Instagram and I just, like, posted. I was like, I need a studio in LA ASAP. And I was, like, on the freeway at, like, 9 o'clock at night when this happened. And I pulled down to refresh my messages, and like the first one that popped up, like instantly, like as soon as I posted it, boom, the first one that popped up, I got a studio right here. He sent the address. It was in North Hollywood. I said, I'm coming right now. He's like, okay, bet. I went straight there, and it just so happened that the producer that he had that was like in the studio is this kid Zone, and he's the kid that made the beat, and he's sick. He also made the beat for Damn. So I like got linked up with like this just fucking really talented producer. And like it was like the perfect person I could have met, you know what I mean? Because he was actually sick. Like, and when I got in there, I was like, look, dude, like I'm going viral right now for this shit. I want to make a song about it. I'm like, whatever we do, like even if whether it's total shit or whether it's a good ass song, it's going to get a lot of exposure. Right. So I was like, this is your chance to get your shit off. Like, let's come up with something dope. I just gassed him up and just try to hype him up, like to get him motivated. And he's like, all right. And he did, you know what I mean? And then I just got fucking really drunk and just went in the booth and basically freestyled it, came up with all that shit on the spot. And it turned out pretty good.
Is that part of your creative process? You make most of your music drunk?
I mean, it helps. It helps.
I respect that. That's a lot healthier though than like the rappers who like get like super into lean and then they need to get into a fucking lean coma to make music.
I mean, dude, every time I've drank lean, like I'm not shitting you. One time I drank lean and I went to sleep that night, probably around like 11 p.m.
Uh-huh.
And I woke up at 11 p.m. the next day, bro. I slept for
it'd be like that.
I slept for a full 24 hours.
Right.
And I couldn't. When I woke up, I was like, fuck, dude. Yeah. That's not good.
Because like the amount of lean that people think is normal to consume, it's honestly like when people first smoke weed and they think like, oh, like these guys are passing a blunt around, I'm going to hit that blunt 9 times. And it's like, if you've never smoked weed before, that's not going to be good. Or even with the edibles, bro. This is the number one thing that people just don't understand, their fucking tolerance. But
yeah,
lean is like that to the extreme because it'll just have you dozing for a fucking day.
Yeah. I was like, damn, I slept for a full 24 hours. Like, that's not good, you know?
We got to get in the studio with some lean.
Okay. We'll just sip it slow.
Hell yeah, exactly.
How do you mix it up?
I mean, whatever. We'll go to the fucking 7-Eleven and just go crazy.
I mean, like, but do you put some Jolly Ranchers in it? What kind of soda do you like? Like,
for me, I was always just doing, like, because I do it every once in a fucking blue
every
moon.
Once in a, and it's so expensive, too.
Oh,
it's
yeah, like, especially now. But
it's ridiculous.
The pineapple sodas were usually what
Fanta.
I was doing. Yeah.
The pineapple Fanta.
Or even just Sprite is, like, delicious. Honestly, like, every...
Cream soda.
The cream soda actually is what I meant to say. Is because, like, everything... tastes good as fuck when
everything
you put the
lean tastes
in.
Good.
And I think the Jolly Rancher shit is crazy though. It doesn't need to be that sweet. It's already sweet as fuck. Yeah. I don't drink soda. So to me, it's already like this is the most sugary fucking thing that I'm taking in.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I just don't understand like how rappers could be drinking so much weed. I mean, drinking so much lean and smoking so much weed and not be just falling asleep. Like, because if I was drinking that much lean, like, I would definitely need a stimulant to stay awake.
Right.
There's no way you could just drink lean all day and not be on some sort of upper to balance you out.
And that's where it gets like, messy.
Yeah.
Is when then they are like, oh, I'm going to have this Coke or I'm going to have this Molly on deck just so that once I get really slumped, I can bring myself back to life. And then, you know.
Or Adderall.
Oh, Adderall. There's a lot of rappers who love Adderall. They don't really talk about it like that because they know that it's going to make them seem like a junkie. But
some of them do. I've been hearing more. I've been hearing more of them talk about Adderall lately.
Gonna Addies.
Yeah.
Addies. Addies. Addies.
I was supposed to be prescribed that shit when I was in high school, and I used to take it like every day for a while.
Right.
But then I stopped because I felt like it was like altering my personality.
Oh yeah, big time.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It made me like really serious and like.
When they put me on fucking Wellbutrin when I was in high school, it's like an antidepressant.
Mm.
And like, you know, there's just like a couple months of my life that I realized at the end of that school year, like I don't even remember anything about like November through February. Like that shit just put me into a fucking haze. Like, I don't know. I don't think I was getting in trouble and stuff. I think my behavioral issues kind of like got tame from that. But I also was just like a blob of fucking jello. I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, that's a... I mean, I know a lot of people that take antidepressants and just no knocking it, you know, like if that works for you, that, you know, that's great. But I don't think I could ever do that, bro. Like, I don't think I could ever take something that like alters my personality like that. Like, I mean, I don't know.
You still consider yourself sober?
No.
Okay. No. But like off the shit that matters?
Yeah. I mean, it's like balances everything, you know?
Right.
Like balance is really, like, you know, it's a, I feel like it's the key to life.
Mm.
Like the key in every aspect, just finding balance in your life.
But it's gotta be kind of weird, because you like publicly declared that you were like sober.
I was sober for
like
5 years.
Drugs, right?
No, I was completely abstinent from drugs. I mean, from alcohol, weed, nothing. I didn't have a sip of alcohol. I didn't have a puff of weed. Nothing for 5 years.
Right.
For 5 years. Yeah. And now I drink and smoke.
Okay, but then you like kind of just started fucking around. But does it? Are you like scared of yourself a little bit? Like, I don't know if I have it in me to necessarily like be in control of this.
I really, truly, it's, I truly feel like it's a day to day.
Yeah.
And I really, truly feel like, you know, for me, what I've learned, what works best for me to stay on the right path is like to like, basically like have a strong, like health and fitness program.
Mm.
Because if you like have a non-negotiable program of like, I'm going to eat healthy, I'm going to work out like a little bit each day, like even if I don't feel like it, I'm just going to get a little tiny workout in. You know what I mean? If you do that and you're eating healthy, you're just going to feel so good in general that it'll kind of keep you on the right path. Cause especially too, it's like, if you know, if you're like workout, if you're like regimen is like non-negotiable and you just accepted that, you've just accepted like, I'm going to work out tomorrow. Even if I don't want to, I'm going to do a little workout. Then you're not going to want to fucking stay out until 5 a.m.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Doing whatever you're, you know, doing drugs, because then you're going to know you're going to feel like shit the next day during your workout.
That's what I think. Like, you know? Anytime I'm, you know, I don't even really like drink that much at this point, but even if I'm like in the studio just smoking mad weed, it's like, I know I got to get up at 7 to work out, because I got a trainer that comes and meets me in my garage, and I'm just like, you know, at a certain point, it's like, it's 1 o'clock. I'm thinking like, all right, maybe I'm going to get to bed by 2. That's 5 hours sleep. Like, I should probably get fucking going. And once you have those, like, yeah, you're right. Like, non-negotiable. To me, it's like, I have to rely on somebody else to stay on the fitness program, because I know that I'm just not going to care enough. Like, if I don't have somebody else, like, that is a reason why I'm rolling out of bed, it just doesn't seem important enough to me. I'm not like a natural
trainer?
Athlete.
Like a trainer?
Yeah, I have a
like
trainer.
An appointment. Like,
and yeah. That, knowing he's coming at 7 is just like, in my head, it's impossible. I'm not going to blow him off ever. Like, yeah. It's just like, I could never do that. It would make me feel horrible. But like,
yeah.
Some people are like motivated by themselves to like exercise.
Whatever works.
I hear Joe Rogan talk about working out, and I'm like, that sounds so foreign to me. Because he just really like gets up at 4 a.m. and does it because he just believes in it.
Yeah.
For me, it's got to be kind of like more of a pressure thing.
I respect the shit. I mean, that shit is like, I've tried so many times to be that dude who like 4 a.m, like, let's go, I'm going to fucking work out. Like, and I never, you know what I
right.
mean? Because I'm just not a morning person. But like, even if I wake up at like 10, 11, like whatever, I'll still just wake up, get a little workout in. You know what I mean?
You've always been consistent with it, or?
Lately, no, I well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, like, you know, like when I was younger, like in my early 20s, the way I worked out was like trying to like be like really like gung ho, like big weights, like lifting heavy weights, like, you know, like trying to like just like trying to be like a fucking meathead, you know, like, you know what I mean? And that shit doesn't like, it's not sustainable for me, because if you work out like that and you like, let's say if like, if I work out from like on a scale of 1 to 10. Every time I go to the gym, I'm at a 10.
Mm.
That's not sustainable, because like, even if you do it for like a month straight and you're hitting it really good, like 4 or 5 times a week, like after a month, I'm just like dead. And then I won't go to the gym for fucking 3 months.
Yeah.
Cause I'll be like so dreading it. Like, cause it's such like, cause like your body, it's like physically like taking a toll on your body.
Yeah.
But now I literally just every day I work out like a 6 out of 10. You know what I'm saying? But with the goal that, okay, I'm going to work out again tomorrow.
Right.
I'm not going to push it. Just easy, tiny workouts. Like, even if I go to the gym for fucking 15, 20 minutes, just do a couple little things. 6 out of 10, not pushing myself at all. Mm. But with the knowledge that I'm going to do this again tomorrow and the next, and there's no days off. So like, usually now, instead of like doing 3 or 4 days a week where I'm going really hard, I just do every day, but just take it really easy.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is way better, because like, Just the consistency is going to get you like in better shape than like trying to like just go too hard. You know?
The time period of my life where I was working out and really cared about getting stronger, that never worked for me. Like,
yeah.
Because it's such a difficult thing to consistently improve at.
Yeah. 'Cause
like, if you want your bench to go up by 5 pounds, I mean, that might be like weeks or months of you working out at a certain strength to get to the point where you can add another 5 pounds. And that, like, I never got that until I got older, that like, you're fucking up your own workout routine by caring too much. Or I had Callie Muscle in here the other day, and I was like talking about like, yeah, I got the home gym now. Like, I'll be doing squats and shit. He's like huge, and he's just like laughing at me. He's like, you doing squats? He's like, yeah, you don't need to be doing all that. I'm like, what? Like, he's like kind of, you know, he's figured out that like, you don't have to necessarily be doing Olympic lifts and doing crazy weights and shit in order for him to grow, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, I used to just be obsessed with like, oh, like, I want to bench this much. No, I want to bench this much. Just like, you know, like weird, like goals in my head of like, you know, like of being like strong or whatever. But like, now I literally just do it. Like, my workouts, I'm like, I exercise like not to even like to look aesthetically better, but honestly just to be in a positive mindset.
Yeah.
Because just doing a little tiny workout, like, it's like getting yourself to a positive mindset every day. I mean, if you go work out for 20 minutes, you're going to feel better after those 20 minutes, period. Mm-hmm. Anyone will. You're going to feel happier. You're going to feel less stressed out. That's just a fact. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you start your day off like that.
Oh yeah.
Then, and you do it for the mindset, but not because you're just trying to like hit these weird goals in your mind. That is what I'm talking about, which like keeps me in balance.
Yeah.
Keeps me in balance so that like, you know, I can, you know, just live a healthy lifestyle. Even though I'm like not sober anymore, I still smoke weed, I drink, and I, you know what I mean? I do my thing and I have fun, but it keeps me on like a healthy path. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I've definitely been like, yeah, like I was sober for 5 years for a reason, because, you know, I've definitely had moments in my life where I was like, you know, like just living an unhealthy lifestyle, doing drugs and shit.
How did you get into that, and what made you eventually snap out of it? Like, what do you think it was in you that drew you to drugs?
I just have an addictive personality.
Mm.
Period. You know, I just have an addictive personality. I mean, I'm just one of those personality types. Some people are like, you know, like addicts. Some people are normies. Mm. You know what they call, like in like AA and shit, they call normal people normies. People who like can like, you know,
do a bunch of coke and then back go to normal Vegas the next day,
and like, you know, do a little coke and then like, you know, not do any again for like a year. You know what I mean? Or just, you know.
I was at a wedding recently and people were like offering me coke, and I'm just like thinking like y'all are normies, because I don't know enough coke in my life that I know I don't want to do coke with y'all, because I'm gonna be up till 9 a.m. and I gotta go to work tomorrow, and it's just like, what, like, you guys are just having a fun little crazy weekend, like,
but yeah. I'm gonna be on a sick one if I fucking stop.
Yeah, it's just, I'm not gonna stop, and it's not good for me. Yeah,
I know, I'm the same way, dude. I'm the same way. So it's like, I gotta like keep an eye out, and like, you know, I have to focus on you know, living a healthy lifestyle and like keeping myself in a positive mind state. I have to focus on it. I have to work for it.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, I'll just inherently be like, I inherently have like a negative state of mind. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a type of dude who like, I'll inherently just, if I'm not doing something to better myself, then I'll just wake up every morning and just feel like shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I have to counteract that.
That's how I feel too, dude. Like, I've been watching this fucking reality show, Too Hot to Handle, because I just interviewed the dude who won the first season. Shout out Harry. And, that was like, I'm realizing that about myself while I'm watching it, where I'm realizing that I'm getting anxiety sitting on my couch watching them, because all that they're doing is sitting around by the fucking pool and just being hot and just hanging out, drinking, whatever. And to me, that gives me anxiety, because it's like, I always feel like I need to be working on something. And then I'm like noticing these things in my brain. They showed one of the dudes just working out in the morning, and all of a sudden my brain felt like a little bit more at ease, because I'm like, okay, well, at least they can do something productive here. Like, the idea of just being without anything to work on for a week, like, that gives me anxiety. Just like, it freaks
like
me out,
being,
man,
in a situation where it's like you can't do anything but just like hang around a pool and like,
I don't want
to talk
chill
to girls. And
it's so much pressure to chill.
Yeah, dude, I would freak out if I could never go on one of those reality shows, because I would just freak out, dude. Like, you know, I have like a really like, you know, like, it, just the whole idea of like being filmed, like having like social interactions with people,
yeah,
and just like knowing how people act different, like when they have a camera on them, and people will just like, everyone's like, you know, everyone's like egos are like so inflamed, everyone's trying to make themselves look cooler than the other person, and like, you know, like you're supposed to like go like you know, you ever seen a Love Island?
Yeah,
you know, it's like just like a show, like super big on in the UK, mm-hmm. where it's just like all you're supposed to do, it's just like a bunch of like attractive people in one place, and they're just supposed to like flirt with each other and hook up with each other, and it's like, you know, like someone like getting like little love triangles,
right.
Like, bro, like I would be so embarrassed, like if I went on that show and like I like the girl I wanted to talk to, like, you know what I mean, I like she didn't like me and she liked someone else and I looked dumb like in front of everybody, like that type of shit would give me so much anxiety, like I could never do that, you know?
Yeah, that would freak me out, like, yeah. Like I totally like the hooking up with a hot girl part sounds great, but for me it's like I need like 8 hours of working before that. And then like, you know, I want to go get like a good night's sleep afterwards or something. Like, I'm just not trying to like that. Just being in that environment of like pure hedonism.
Yeah.
I just remember, like, I remember going to like Vegas pool parties at like noon and just getting fucking wasted in the middle of the day. And I'm like puking by like six. And I'm just like, this is like, this just doesn't feel right. Like I didn't do anything today. I literally woke up, got brunch, and then went to this fucking party and got annihilated and made out with random girls in this pool.
Yeah,
this just doesn't feel like the right thing for me to be doing.
Yeah, you just feel like shit afterwards.
Yeah, but I know a lot of people who pretty much live that life 24/7.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. And you always see them at the same places.
Yeah.
You always, like, especially in LA, dude, it's like you see the same. That's why I don't like going out too much, because like, I don't like feeling like I'm one of those people who's always there, because every time I go out somewhere at like the cool spots, you see the same fucking people every time, dude. Like the same cool people, you see them every time and they're always there. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't like going out every day or like, you know what I mean? Like multiple times a week, because then I start feeling like one of those people.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. Like that, I find that insanely depressing.
Yeah.
When you go to a club or like a bar like a bunch of times and you just see the same person there that like over and over and you're like, Jesus Christ, like this is a once in a while thing for me and you just live here.
And they live for it. They live for it.
Right.
You know? They really live for it. It's like what do you do the rest of the day? Like do you just wait around for this to for 11 o'clock to come around? Like to go out? Like
when really? I was in Long Beach, it was like that.
But they all seem to be like really rich and like have a lot of money, so you know they're doing something. You know what I mean?
I mean, there's a lot of that out here, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Or like the thing that we've been talking about on the podcast a lot lately, but it's so OD, is just the idea, like the fact that people get so rich out here that then they need to go to a club where they're spending like 20 racks on the table and shit, just so that they can like, I don't know, like prove why they're there, or like prove that they're a guy who can spend $20,000 in a night.
Yeah, but there's those people who like are like the like who just spend money like that. But then like there's also like the industry like nightlife people who like don't spend anything. Like they're just like cool.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And they like they're always like hanging out with like celebrities and like, you know what I mean. It's not really clear what they do, but like they're in the in crowd. You know what I mean. It's just it's all really confusing, bro. Like I don't like. Like what I hate about LA, dude, and I can say this because I'm from here, I'm born and raised here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like people from LA, like born and raised,
right?
Are not the LA stereotype. Mm-hmm. Like at the LA stereotype, people are super fake and stuck up and pretentious. Like that, the reason for that is because most people in LA are not from here.
Mm.
Like LA is like the only city where it's rare to meet someone from LA.
Right.
Like when people go, where are you from? I'm from here. Oh, wow, that's crazy. I never meet people from here.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know. Because everybody, most people here come from somewhere else.
Right.
And they come to LA with the expectation of how they're supposed to act and how they're supposed to be. And it's like, I know what I mean? Like social climbers, and I'm cooler than you, and you're beneath me, and I, you know, people I'm move up here and you're down there. You know what I mean? And I hate that. But that is the scene. Like this, that is the scene here. It's all about I'm up here, you're down here. You know what I mean? Like leeching off of like different like social like, you know, people, celebrities trying to hang around them for the benefit of their own social status. And like, that's the game they play. And like, if you're going out, you kind of like have to play that game to some extent, but I really hate doing it because it's just like, I'm not good at it. I'm not good at like being fake friends with people and like nurturing relationships of people that like, don't really have my best interests at heart. And I don't like being around those type of people. And you know what I mean? Like, that's just not how I am. Because real LA people, locals, are like super laid back, chill people. We're humble. We don't do all that thing. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And yeah, dude, it's just kind of weird. But if you do like go out, you know what I mean? And you're trying to like, You know what I'm like? Get like for me, like I'm doing music, so it helps to go out and like meet people and network and you know just get show my face to get my name out there. So it's like if you're an artist or you know doing whatever, you kind of do have to do that to some extent. But it's like a it's kind of like a chore almost, you know.
Out here, so people really like socialize as a job, like that's that's our career.
Yeah.
And people recognize that this is like this is an important part of your career.
Yeah.
But that I realized that as I get older too is that like, damn, like being backstage at festivals and stuff, as much as it feels kind of pointless to me now that I'm older, I mean those are like the moments when you're going to get to be around everybody who's in the fucking same industry as
for
you.
Sure.
And that does have to have some value.
Absolutely. I mean, you definitely have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like. I mean, this is probably how that's how else would you have built up like this podcast to be like as big as it was if you weren't going out and rubbing shoulders with people, you know?
Yeah, but now I've got to the point where it feels like it's big enough that I can just get people. But for then sure. In reality, it's like you can just make more natural connections and more connections if you just go and just sort of be involved. Like I remember people used to always tell me like, oh, like. You know, you're different than Vlad or academics because you're really out here as shit and everything. And I was like, oh, that's a nice thing for you to say, I guess. And like now I think about it, I'm like, that's so not true of me for like the last like year or two.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, this shit is definitely so big now that you don't, you can just kind of sit back. Like you don't have to probably, you don't really have to do that shit anymore.
I don't want to be that dude though. I want to go pop bottles in the club with Chet.
Oh, let's God. Do it. I bet I can be my bottle because I'm not paying for that shit.
Yeah. But you probably have a whole network of like dudes that you know who are getting tables at the club that want you to come like help guide girls into the section, right?
Yeah. But I don't like, I mean, it's like those are like promoters and shit. Yeah, I don't like doing that because it's like they're just, like there's always like those tables are always so crowded and you just like look like I don't like being claustrophobic and like being like standing like this like sardines bunch of packed out people, you know, just to stand at a section. I just like going to the bar, bro. I'll just go stand by the bar, order a drink, and just kind of move and groove.
My whole life, that's what I was doing. And now people act like that's like illegal. Like if you were just like a person walking around at the club, that you're basically like a homeless person.
Yeah, just a peasant.
What is that?
Yeah.
That bothers me. Do you have trust issues with girls?
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
How's that going?
I mean, I'm working on it.
We all do.
I'm working on it. Like, I definitely, yeah. I mean, yeah.
When you think about yourself 5 years from now, do you feel like you're going to be, like, married?
Man,
or are you too fried from this LA lifestyle?
Oof.
It took me a while to get that question out.
Yeah. Marriage is a pretty terrifying thing to consider, don't you think? I mean, maybe
I just
not.
Proposed.
Yeah.
Okay. So for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you could be engaged for a while before you get married, right?
Yeah. Now I'm starting to. Like,
are you
feel
setting
that,
a date? Have you set a date?
No, but I'm starting to feel that pressure of like, oh wait, now you have to
see,
actually
getting
do
getting engaged is fine. Like I could totally get engaged. But the actual like marriage, like wedding,
right.
That shit just stresses me the fuck out to think about. Yeah. I mean, think about having a wedding, dude. Like, how expensive they are.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, fuck, you know?
Yeah.
Not to mention, it's like a, you know, it's like you're getting the government now, like, involved in, like, your personal relationships. Like,
right. But I have a kid with her already, so it's kind of like the government would be involved either way, because if I decided I just wanted to bail out, they're going to be like, hey,
no,
you owe her a little bit of money.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you're happy, so all power to you.
No, it seems great now, for sure. Sometimes I wonder if I should listen to those people that say, like, you should never get married. But to be honest, like, I don't know. It's like where am I going? I just don't really see it. Yeah. Like, it just seems like, okay, you know, like, we're really doing this, and I don't know. But then it's weird because, like, my girl, just being her, she will totally take the reins of figuring out the wedding and everything. But I don't want to be like a totally like impartial bystander to the planning of this, even though I'm the one who proposed, you know. I don't want to act like I don't care at all, even though in reality, in my whole life, I've never even thought about what a wedding that I was involved with would be like. But I've been, you know, I even went to a fake wedding. I went to the Jake Paul wedding, which was basically like a TV wedding.
See, fake weddings might be like, those might be even better than real weddings.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, it was not the best wedding I've ever... It was definitely probably the most star-studded wedding I've ever been to.
Yeah.
So that was cool, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like Gene Simmons? No. Gene Simmons. from Kiss.
Yeah.
He was, he like basically like, he like had a girlfriend. His, like, everyone thought he had a wife and they were like together for like decades, but they were never actually married. They were just boyfriend and girl, had kids together, homes, you know what I mean? We're together for like 20 years. They're probably still together.
Yeah.
And going, but they never got married. They never actually like tied the knot. Like, technically she's just his girlfriend. I think that's kind of a good way to do it.
So, yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, yeah, I definitely would have done that if it wasn't for, you know, my girl is from like an Armenian family and shit, and I feel like there's like pressure where it's like they look at you weird if you don't get married. Like, I feel like my parents are so thankful that I'm even like alive or like living a normal life that they wouldn't have really like pushed the issue about getting married or whatever. But like my girl's side of the family, it definitely seems like more of a thing.
Yeah. Definitely cultural, you know, differences. Shout out Armenians too.
Shout out to all Armenians.
One of my best friends is Armenian. My manager, especially in LA, I mean, because I don't really know any other cities in America that have like an Armenian population other than LA. But if you know like one solid Armenian, like you basically
you know all of them.
You know, you don't just not know all of them. You basically like you know everybody you need to know. Period. Like
right. You
have access to anything you need. Like anything can get done for you. Like you basically, it's like having the keys to like the whole city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like, yeah. And you realize that once they start
Armenians
to go to war,
are really tapped in, dude.
The Defend Armenia stickers across the back of the car. I want to be like the only non-Armenian dude who has one of them.
I kind of feel like that. I kind of feel like an honorary Armenian.
Mm.
Just because I'm so tapped in with the Armenians.
Just because I have an Armenian fiance and no like Armenian gang has felt the need to beat my ass or anything, I feel like that means that they'll have like an honorary like pass. Like they fuck with me because they haven't. Like my girl told me though when I first started dating, she said like, I know you joke around about everything on the podcast and shit. Just don't diss the Armos.
Don't.
Because there's like some percentage of them that will not take it like a joke. And I was
for
like,
sure.
Noted.
For sure. Yeah. 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 Great friends, you know, don't want to have them as enemies.
You need an Armenian, like I feel like if you're going to tap in with an Armenian, they're going to be the ones who are like getting the table. Like for some reason they have like a body shop where they're making a shitload of money and they're getting tables and they're like, Chet, come join us.
I get you anything you need.
For real.
Yeah. For like the hookup, like the super hookup.
100%. I'm trying to see what else I have on here. Oh, man. We were just watching the clip of you fucking saying that you wanted to assault Howard Stern. That was the best.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. You tweeted that. He had the clip talking about you, and then you had the tweets basically saying, I will fuck you up. When I see you, I'm going to beat your ass. I'm like, nobody ever did Howard like that. That's fire.
Yeah, dude. Fuck Howard, man.
You still got a chip on your shoulder about that?
For sure. For sure. Because he was like... He was like the first real person, like talk. Okay, like when I, oh man, this is going back so far, dude.
I like it.
Let's dig in. Like when I was 19. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is 2010. So it's a while ago when I dropped like my first song. When I was in college, the white and purple shit you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It was a remix of Black and Yellow. Black and Yellow, Black and Yellow.
I remember.
The Wiz Khalifa song.
Classic.
From my college.
I think your version was better.
Thanks, bro. Wow, that's... yeah, I made it for my school, my college, because our colors were white and purple, and I just made a song like that. And he shit on me so hard, dude. Howard shitted on me so hard, and I'm like, bro, like, I'm a 19-year-old kid, bro. Like, why are you picking on a little kid? Like,
right.
You know what I mean? And I, to this day, I'm just like, that shit wasn't cool, dude. Mm. That shit wasn't cool. And it's like, fuck him, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, but he's an old man, so it's like, it wouldn't be right for me to beat his ass, but, you know.
You could get another old man
in his
beat
prime.
His ass.
In his prime, that would be a great fucking fight to line up. Me versus Howard Stern when he was like 30.
I think he's like 8 feet tall.
I think he's like 80 years old now.
He is, but you know, it's like if you ever had a problem with a girl, like theoretically you could send another girl to fight her.
Yeah.
You could find another geriatric asshole man to fight.
Yeah. That's a good fucking idea. Like challenge him to a duel and then I find another senior citizen to be my second. I'm like, I'm not going to duel you. He's going to.
You ever think I'll just go to
Gold's Gym? I'll just go to Gold's Gym and find the most yoked fucking old dude I can.
That just sounds like a great vlog.
That is a great fucking vlog.
That should be the first Chet vlog.
Dude, I need to start a vlog.
I think that could be big.
Will you help me?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, sick.
That'd be amazing. I just want to, like, go live a life, a day in the life. I just really want to go work out on the beach and get some margaritas after.
Let's do it.
Case of White Claws.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I'm down anytime you want.
Okay, was that Howard Stern thing though? The first time that you had really been like attacked in the media in relation, yeah. Because it's kind of like you growing up. It's like yes, you have this famous ass dad, but you know you're growing up in Beverly Hills. There's a lot of people whose parents have done important shit. Was it like never really that big of a thing until then, or like how did that kind of change the just way that you viewed it?
Like my dad's fame, or
yeah,
or
and just exactly? The way that it would make people sort of judge you by this crazy standard.
Yeah, I mean, people already judged me like that before, but that was the first time it was just on like a massive public level,
right?
And that was and it was a shock, and it was painful, dude, because like I was just a 19-year-old kid, like having fun, like talking about like my like being in a fraternity in college. Like I wasn't like talking about anything out of pocket. Like I wasn't like trying to act like I'm like a big thug, like yeah. You know what I mean?
If
like,
you had been gangbanging, it would have been more roast worthy, you know? Yeah.
Like I wasn't like talking about anything like out of pocket. Like I was just, you know, like having fun, and he shit it on me so hard. It was just kind of like, man, it was like it was hurtful, you know?
Yeah.
And like, you know, but you know, like you gotta have thick skin, period. And it's like, you know, it is what it is.
Mm. Definitely.
But I just thought he should, it's like, he should have known better. Cause it's just like, I was just like a fucking 19-year-old kid, dude. But that's how shit is. These motherfuckers, like they have to have shit to talk about. They have to have little petty bullshit. That's literally their job. Like Wendy Williams, bro.
She like, talked about you?
Bro, she has talked about me so many fucking times, dude. Wendy Williams has talked about me so many times. You know what? And one day Jason Lee called me up because I have a good relationship with him. I've been on Hollywood Unlocked.
Shout out
me
Jason.
Me and Jason are cool.
Good guy.
And Jason hit me up one. This was like a year ago. And then Jason hit me up and he's like, Chet, I have someone on the phone that wants to talk to you. It's out of the blue. And I'm like, okay. He's like, I'm at a conference. They're in. Boo. And it was like, Chet, it's Wendy. I'm like, oh, nah, dude. I'm like, she's like, I need you to come on the show. You need to come on the show. You need to do your white chocolate. And I was real with her, dude. I said, Wendy, you shitted on me so many times. You said shit about my baby mama. Like that's disrespectful. And now you like, I was real with her. I was like, you were so disrespectful. Like that, like you cause problems for me, like in my real life. You know what I mean? And she was like, oh, you know, that's just my job. I don't even remember what I say. People just tell me what to say and I say it. And I'm like, so that's your excuse?
Right.
That's your fucking excuse? So you can't be held accountable because it's like your job, but like that is their fucking job. And you know what, dude? I don't respect it. I don't fucking respect it. I don't respect that. I don't respect Howard Stern. If that's your fucking job, dude, and your excuse is, well, I gotta talk shit about people because it's my job. Get a better fucking job then.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because if you really want to fucking do your job well, then you should nurture good relationships with people and not just shit on whoever the fuck you know what I mean? Whoever you can, just because you're desperate for like clickbait.
They create punching bags for content.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And it's like, exactly. You're not the first one.
You know?
But now they look back at like the Britney Spears shit.
Yeah.
And everybody with like, you know, a couple decades of hindsight can say, look how terrible the media treated her and how brutal. But she still deserves a degree of sympathy in the public's eye because, oh, she's a pop star. She's so talented, yada, yada. But like, you know, I feel like they put you in a category where it's like, oh, he's a punching bag that is guilt free. Because we assume that he should have had the most idealistic, perfect life, as if rich kids don't shoot up schools, as if, you know, whatever, you know, that's kind of, it's weird how our society decides that certain people are not deserving of any sympathy.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly. All on an assumption. And in my case, the assumption just wasn't fucking true. And that was the most like mind fuck part about it, dude, because it's like, I'm gonna be honest. Like I'm the only rich kid I know who like was not raised with money. Right. Like, period. Like every other single rich family I know, and it doesn't matter if they're super rich or whether they're like upper middle class or whatever. Like I grew up with kids that like whose parents were like dentists. Like they weren't worth hundreds of millions. Mm. You know what I mean? They were like they lived well, and they, you know, like they lived comfortable lifestyles, but like they weren't worth hundreds of millions. And these kids like were spoiled rotten.
Mm.
Spoiled rotten. You know what I mean? And here I am, everyone's looking at me like I'm spoiled rotten, and I wasn't spoiled at all, dude. Like, I've had to earn every fucking dollar I've ever made, period.
Right.
I never was given money. I was never given an allowance. When I was broke and I was like, mom, dad, like, I need money. I'm broke. I don't have enough money, like, to go to dinner. They're like, well, if you want us to help you find a job, we'll help you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and so there were years of my life, especially in college, when I'm like a broke ass college kid, like most college kids are, where I was really fucking broke, dude. Like, uh-huh. like if I had $500 in my bank account, like I was stoked.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like for years of my life. But so I'm really like living like that. But then I have the whole world treating me like I'm some asshole prick, rich kid, like douchebag, like Richie Rich, like douchebag. So it's like I got like I got all the cons of like, you know, like people hating you because you're being a rich kid with like none of the pros. You know what I mean? Because I was actually broke.
For sure.
You
know? Yeah. I mean, like I'm the first person to have money in my fucking family history, basically. And I think about that all the time. It's like, you know, for my parents, they told me to go get a job when I was like 13, you know, and like, what am I going to do for my kid? Like, am I going to just tell her like you're 16, it's time to go work at the grocery store? Like, even though I could totally afford for her to have a different lifestyle. But when you look at that decision by your parents, do you think that was the right decision?
Yeah, I mean, I respect it. I respect it because, you know, like most of those kids that were spoiled rotten, like they end up like just, you know, it's hard to you know, it's hard to have like hunger for things like when you've already been given everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you've been driving a fucking Bentley Flying Spur since the age of 16.
Right.
And you just got like your parents just bought it for you. You know what I mean? Like by the time you're like an adult, like it's very rare for those kids to like actually have motivation.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Definitely. Like, 'cause you probably have so many peers that you've seen do that.
Yeah. And there's like this, there's also just like this dynamic like of like kids, like certain rich kids, like they have like, you know, like if like kids, like I grew up with kids that like were super spoiled like that. And then they end up like having like a whole, like they're like sycophants, like leeches, you know what I mean? Like a whole like crew of little, like fucking gophers, you know what I mean? Like they roll with like an entourage of gophers of like their friends who like are supposed to be like their like inner circle of friends, but they really just like treat them like shit because they don't have any respect for them because they know that these kids are just like hanging around them like to like for access to like their lifestyle.
Yeah.
So they like they really treat their friends like shit. You know what I mean? And they're like, right. Go get me this. You know what I mean? Like they treat them like they're like fucking employees. You know what I mean?
Oh man.
You totally. Know? Like,
yeah, I see that all the time.
Yeah, it happens all the time. And then I never vibed with those kids because like I didn't, you know, like. I was not raised that way at all. You know what I mean? Even though they, you know, one would think that I was, because I was a celebrity kid too. These others like celebrity kids just lived a completely different lifestyle than me. And, you know, it was a trip, you know, it was a trip because people always go, you know, well, do you hang out with other celebrities' kids? And I'm like, well, I know some of them, but like, we don't hang out because it's like, you know, they only hang out with like dick riders who like are like their employees. You know what I'm saying? It's like a weird dynamic, you know?
Yeah, because that's one thing. Like people always don't understand how like successful people don't really like kick it like that. And it's like once you're really successful or really like grinding on something, working on something, like other successful people who are working on their own thing, it's kind of like weird for them to coexist. And I guess it's kind of the same dynamic with a lot of like people who are just born into money or whatever, is that they kind of want people around who are going to sort of suck their dick, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's just like a lot of fucking leeches, dude, and people that are just like using, you know, like people that are just trying to use them for their own benefit, you know, for their own fucking social ladder, you know.
But you get to see a super dark side of that because it's, you also get like the woke women on Twitter who choose to use you as like a stand-in for like white supremacy. Like somehow the White Boy Summer song is actually a song about like white people taking over, and they like project their like fears about white men onto you.
Yeah, dude, it's a tricky, you know, it's like, these are just fucking so sensitive times, like, just fucking, yeah, it's a tricky position, dude, but it's like, at the end of the day, man, it's like, you're not gonna fucking please anybody, and it's like, at the end of the day, dude, honestly, it's like, people that would rather, like, there's a lot of people out there that literally just spend their fucking lives just looking for anything to be offended by.
All right, it's their job.
They are just like going through life with the fucking microscope, just with the radar, like just looking for anything to get fucking fake ass offended about. And it's like, oh, and it's like, like, where is that going to get you? Right. You know what I mean? You find something to get offended about. You post about it on Instagram. You post about it on Twitter. What are you doing anything? You're not even doing anything to you know, aid the so-called, like, fucking, you know, thing you claim to be offended by in the first place. It's just all about, like, you know, it's just like, you know, like, social media gave everybody like a platform where, like, before, like, their opinion wouldn't have mattered.
Right.
But it gave people whose opinion doesn't matter a platform where it could matter.
And what's crazy is that now you have, like, corporations that basically just bow down to the most offended person. Like, they just get out of the way. And you know that they don't believe this shit. But they just, like, are so in fear of, like, a New York Times article that comes out that makes them seem racially insensitive that they just will just let anything go. Like, their employees are just fucking running the show.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's going to fucking shift, though? Because I feel like it is, dude.
I think so.
I feel like it's going to shift. Like, and honestly, I kind of feel like the spearhead of it, dude. Like, sometimes, like, sometimes I kind of fear, like, I feel like I'm the one who's, like, kind of causing the shift. Because it's like, you know, just because someone tries to, like, label you or like paint a picture of you as being, you know, like, their perception doesn't fucking make it true. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? No matter how fucking, you know, like, because it's like nowadays it's like there's like the PC, you know, like, dogma,
right?
Of if you don't like buy into this PC dogma, then you're a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it's like, that's not fucking true, dude. Like, there's plenty of people who just, like, have common sense. They might agree with some things, but not everything. And, like, the fucking PC dogma. And just because you label them and blackball them as being a piece of shit, it doesn't mean it's true. Mm. And eventually, like, that PC dogma is going to have to accept the fact that it's, like, there's many shades of gray. You know what I mean? Mm. And it's just, and it's bullshit, dude. And people, I feel like the general public is getting really fucking sick of this fucking cancel culture, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people are like, man, fuck that shit, dude. Mm-hmm. People are getting fed up with that shit of, like, the whole PC dogma trying to, like, shove shit down people's throats and get them to, you know what I mean? Like, and it's just like, dude, like, you know, I feel like shit's going to shift at some point where it's like, there's going to be some person that, like, they try to cancel who's just like, you do everything you can to try to cancel them. And guess what? It's not going to make any fucking difference.
I mean, you keep seeing it over and over where, like, they try to ruin people's careers and it just doesn't work. And I mean, okay, like, when I first saw you speaking with the patois, whatever, what went through my head is not, oh, that's offensive. What went through my head was like, oh my God, he's nuts for doing that, because that's the exact thing that's going to trigger the fuck out of the most offended people on earth. But then when you kind of just kept rolling with it and didn't apologize or whatever, like, you've had plenty of instances where you could have issued a fake ass apology. After the White Boy Summer thing, you could have been like, you know, write the notepad thing and put it on Instagram. I'm really sorry. I never meant to use any imagery that would be associated with hate groups. It's like, why act like you have to take these people serious? You don't have to just, like, listen to the shrillest voices. You know, you can just be a dude with a backwards fitted hat saying fuck you.
Church, dude. Yeah, for sure. You know, like, some people obviously, like, really have done fucked up shit, and, like,
right,
you know, like, and it's like, that's not cool, and there's no excuse for that. But then there's just a lot of shit that's just like a game of, like, he said, she said. It's like a game of fucking telephone. Mm-hmm. It's like, how are you not going to address the fact that, you know, like, at a certain point, like, this is a game of fucking telephone. Mm. You know what I mean? It's a game of he said, she said. Like you can't prove this shit. Like, so what happened to innocent until proven guilty? You know what I mean? Mm. It's like, it's a fucking witch hunt. You know what I mean? It's like McCarthy shit, like, in the 50s, where it's like, if you were, like, a fucking, you know, like, bohemian or whatever, like, you hung out in cafes and smoked cigarettes and, like, wore a beret, then they were going to accuse you of being a communist. You know what I mean? And if you're a communist, then you're, like, you know, like, basically thrown in jail.
And now everybody's hyped to be a communist.
But it's like, if there's no proof that you're a communist, then how can you just fucking, you know, like blackball these people? You know what I mean? Like, if there's no proof. And that's exactly what's going on today, dude. It's a fucking witch hunt. And I really feel like the general public is getting sick of it, and people are fed up with this shit. And eventually, like, that whole PC movement is just going to lose its power.
Right. Because, you know, I think Trump was such a... a sign of people being fed up with the way that politics was going. But it's just like unfortunate that, you know, Trump was Trump and he was just like a total asshole.
Yeah,
like,
and just made it worse.
Just made it worse or whatever. But it's like, I don't know. Like, sometimes I feel like the Republicans are just going to find somebody at some point who's just like a good in-between point of not seeming like a crazy fucking permanently offended psycho and Trump. Something in between that will actually like fit.
Someone who's not a piece of shit, but like also doesn't just buy into the whole just like fucking like you know.
It is
like,
kind of hard to imagine, but you also kind of feel that like such a big percentage of America is just sick as fuck with a lot of the stuff that's going on with the left that it's just kind of inevitable that they're going to figure it out at some point.
I mean, dude, it's like both side is equally fucked, dude.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, both extremes are equally ridiculous.
Right.
You know? It's like, when are people going to wake up and realize that there's good things and bad things about both side? Mm. And it's like, just be a decent fucking person, mean no one no harm, and just, you know, like, believe, you know what I mean? Like, have your beliefs. Like, I feel like the candidate, like if when you're choosing a presidential candidate, you should be choosing the candidate that best fits your own personal beliefs. It's like, okay, this candidate is pro-guns, and okay, I'm pro-guns, but he's, okay, I agree with that. This one, it's not just, oh, this one is the extreme version of the blue, this one's the extreme version of the red, and I just gotta pick which is the lesser of two evils.
I know, and for me, the lesser of two evils that I voted for is basically someone who is like brain dead and can barely form a sentence. Shout out to Joe Biden. But it seemed like I had to do it, but I wasn't happy to make this fucking decision. This guy's terrible. He's the worst candidate ever. Kamala Harris is literally the worst vice presidential candidate ever. It's just insane that this is actually what we landed on and what we had to, or what I felt like I had to side with. And I mean, yeah.
But think at least, like, at least you haven't heard anything of like the president just coming out saying some out of pocket shit that's just like fueling like fucking racial tension. Like, at least we haven't had any of that for the past like however long. Like, that's been pretty nice.
I scroll past his tweets. I don't even read them. I don't even think about reading them. I see the Joe Biden thing, and I don't even know why I'm following him. I should mute him.
But he's just out the way. I'm cool with that. The president just being out the way. Just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But thank God. You know what I mean? Like, it's a relief having the president be out the way instead of going out of his way to just make shit, you know, more tense.
Right.
You know?
So 100%. It's
like, but I honestly don't pay attention to politics at all. If you ask me like one thing that Joe Biden's done, I wouldn't be able to tell you. Like, I don't pay attention to that shit at all. I don't watch the fucking news.
Sometimes I think about before I knew anything about politics and I'm like, man, I felt fine. I wasn't like walking around wishing that I knew more about politics. Yeah. Now it's like I wake up in the morning, I go take a shit, and within seconds I'm like looking at Twitter and just seeing somebody just saying AOC said this and she is such a hypocrite, and I'm just like, fuck, like, why am I just allowing this app to feed this negativity into my brain, even though this is like real important shit that's happening, but it's like, wouldn't I be fine if I didn't know this?
It's kind of, dude, like, it's hard. I mean, I don't like read the news, but it's like, I mean, I'm on Instagram all the fucking time.
Right.
And then, I mean, like, the fucking out, you know, like whatever, like fucking like that fucking documentary where it's like broke down, like how the social media platforms make the shit like super addictive and they like got us. Well, it's like for sure got me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm super fucking, you know, like, you know, they're doing a number on me because I'm on Instagram all the time. Mm. And I try to fucking, you know, do shit where it's like, okay, I'm gonna wake up, I'm not gonna look at my phone, you know what I mean? Like, I try to do that shit, but it's so hard because, like, we've literally, like, live in a world where it's just like, this is like it's like a part of our bodies, you know? It's like an extension of our bodies, you know?
That's the scary thing, is that maybe in the future, it will literally be like embedded into our brain, or like, you saw a little glimpse of it with those like Snapchat glasses or the Google glasses where you could like see the text like layered over your eyesight and stuff. Cause that's how I always feel, is like, why am I pulling this fucking object out of my pocket to like see what's going on? Like, it just seems like an unnecessary step.
Being present in the moment. You know what I mean? You know, like when you ever like fucking, like, you know, like maybe for like your phone breaks down and you're without your phone for a day because you're waiting on a new one, or like you just go on you're somewhere remote where there's no service. So you just like turn your phone off because you don't have any bars anyway.
In that moment, it's so obvious to you that this has done something very serious to your brain, because your brain does not feel even close to the same when you're cut off from that.
But don't you feel so much more at peace?
Oh yeah.
Like, I feel so much more at peace. Like, I feel like I can just I take enjoyment over the most simple things. Like, just like, wow, like that's a nice breeze I feel on my face.
Right.
The sun is really nice today. That's a beautiful cloud. You know what I mean? Like that, the grass smells really good. When I don't have access to my phone, if my phone is on in my pocket, like, I won't even appreciate those things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Or you turn into a documentarian and it's not like, oh my God, those flowers are beautiful, I'm going to smell them. It's like, those flowers are beautiful,
I'm going to show everyone.
Shoot a selfie in front of the flowers with the sun perfectly right.
Yeah.
It does a lot of weird
It's really
shit.
Fucked up, dude. I honestly like kind of wish that like technology had just like stopped like in the 90s and we just still lived in the same technology of the 90s, when it's like you had landlines, like you had to like you know,
yeah,
if you wanted to fucking talk to, like, if you wanted to holler at a girl, like, you had to like talk to her mom first.
Yeah. No,
be like, hey, is fucking, you know, Michelle
there? Yeah. Yeah, I did a lot of that. No, but okay, the thing about this too is like, I gotta make the decision at some point with my kid of like, do I want to familiarize her with social media at some point, because realistically it's going to be a huge part of any career that she goes into, or do I want to just shield her from social media as much as possible, because I know that it's going to fucking warp her brain, it's going to make her feel like shit about her body, it's going to give her all kinds of fucked up ideas about like what success is or whatever. But then, is that an unfair thing to do to your child at a certain point, because you're basically making them like if my parents had hidden the TV from me my whole life, would I have grown up a little happier? I don't know, but it definitely would have made me like less culturally aware, less like conscious of what's going on in the world all around me.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? Like, me and you, like, I'm 30. So it's like, me and you come from like a generation before the internet.
Yeah.
You know? So I was born in 1990. Like, so it's like, I'm really like the last generation to like remember life before the internet.
Because I got the internet at like 12, like 13, childhood. And it was brand new to me,
right,
which no kid is going to ever know what that's like
now. Me and you
now.
Both remember like having, like, I remember me being like to my mom, like, what are you doing? I'm sending an email. What's an email? You know what I mean? Like, what's the internet? Oh, it's this new thing. Like, I remember that. You know what I mean? And in my childhood up until then was fucking normal. We went outside, like, you know what I mean? Rode bikes around the park, like, egged people's houses. You know what I mean? Like, did fun shit. You know what I mean? Like, little delinquent shit outside. We didn't just stay and play a game like on an iPad. But my point is that, don't you feel like for people and like for the kids, right? Like, for like, for kids that, you know, like are like, you know, 15, 16 now, who are like super tapped into like the internet and like what's cool and what's not, like, you know, like this generation, like they're almost, they have like almost like a different collective consciousness, like a different kind of sense of humor, a different, you know, that's current, right? And there's not many people, older people like us, who can like, who can like tap into that. You know what I mean? Like, because it's like, we had like one foot in each door. Like people like who are older like us, it's like we have one foot in the generation pre-internet, we have one foot in the post-internet, like, current generation, and like the rule book that we grew up on is no longer applicable. So it's like we grew up on a whole rule book on like how to like be successful in life, and like, oh, get a job, like, the go to college, do the regular
learn cursive
shit. But now, like, that shit, it doesn't even fucking matter. You know, then now you could fucking be making like millions from, like, you know what I mean, like Aiden Ross, like, you know what I mean, like, whatever. Cash Me Outside Girl, like, whatever, like they, like, so there's a whole new rule book, and people like from our generation are like, I feel like, are trying to figure out the new way to the new rule book and kind of failing. You know what I mean? But you haven't, you know what I mean? Like, so it's like how do you feel like it was for you to like to be like someone from like the pre-internet generation, but who's like totally tapped in with like the current young generation? Yeah. Why do you feel like you were able to tap into that when other people aren't, you know?
Well, to be honest, I think a big part of it is the fact that I basically like started this BMX website when I was like 22, and it basically like allowed me to not really grow up at all, because it's like, oh, I have this business that basically just consists of me being out riding bikes with my friends, and I'm like on the internet and doing shit on the internet, but like I never really had to like conform to anything or whatever. I just basically rode bikes and listened to rap music and just read about shit on the internet. So it's sort of like primed me to like, once I sort of figured out like that I was into podcasting and stuff, it's like I don't think I had that sort of closed off, angry, grumpy mentality towards like new rap music and new shit, you know? And now it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy now, where it's like I know that my success here kind of depends on me not getting sick of pop culture or what's going on in the underground, etc. Like I have to stay curious, but that's what I'm super thankful for, is that I really am like, I want to have a conversation with you, I want to have a conversation with some rapper, you know, like all that shit is interesting to me. But that's why I'm kind of freaking out a little bit, because it's like I want to make this business its own thing, so that if I ever do get to the point where I'm like, oh, like I don't give a fuck about any of these new rappers, I could maybe like step back and not have the business seem old because of me, you know? Because at a certain point, maybe No Jumper can exist in a point where the foundation of it is not me being on camera all the time. But, you know, that it doesn't really seem like an immediate threat, but it seems like the kind of thing that I would want to, that's my main like goal with No Jumper, is to build it into something strong enough that I don't have to fucking necessarily be the main engine at a point, you know?
Right, you could just take a step back and have someone else kind of be the face of it.
Maybe, but you know, think about what we're doing right now. This is like kind of an inherently like un-internet thing, like sitting down and talking to somebody and looking at them and just talking for an hour and a half.
Right.
A lot of these kids don't fucking get that anymore. They just are so like wrapped up in their phone. And the idea that you might be happier if you spent less time on your phone, or like put it on Do Not Disturb and keep it in your pocket for a few hours, is like, that makes a lot of sense to me. That's like obviously a good idea. And I feel like a lot of young kids, that is a very foreign idea to them.
Just being present, like just being present, because it's like, I just feel like for myself, like if I'm not enjoying the simple things in life, then I don't enjoy anything.
Yeah.
And if I do, and I am tapped in and I enjoy the simple things, like the sunshine, the breeze, you know what I mean? The weather, then I'm generally content and at peace and happy, you know? And it does require like disconnecting for sure, but that's hard sometimes because we're just so accustomed to it being ingrained in our lives. But I think that's really interesting what you said, like just about like being, because that does kind of seem like a defining characteristic for you, like being so tapped into the younger generation, is that you're just enthusiastic about them. Whereas like most older dudes were supposed to be like, oh, this new generation of rap sucks, fuck mumble rap, like they're not spitting any real lyrics, and that was just so fucking lame, dude. Like that was so fucking lame to have that stance, like everything's always got to be like 90s hip hop where people are just spitting the most serious bars of like intricate fuck. It's like, dude, you know what I mean? Like, instead of you having that stance, you're enthastic and you wanted to meet with them. But
I get how those old heads feel though, because when like there was a period of time in like 2014 or 15 or whatever, where it felt like EDM was taking over the fucking world and like every cool dude was a DJ. And that really kind of
making the fucking, what was that shit called, dude? What was that genre called?
Dubstep. Was the like
dubstep.
And I was really looking at it like, bro, like, is this shit really gonna like be so much bigger than rap? Like that, like, but I also was kind of like, you know, all right, whatever. Like, I did end up interviewing a few like EDM DJs and shit, but you know, because I was curious about it. But ultimately, like, I remember just thinking like, all right, like if this shit takes over the world, that's cool. I'm gonna still like listen to Raekwon and like Jadakiss and shit and just let the world move along. But like sometimes I think about that with rap, like people now want me to give a fuck about hyper pop. It's like, bruh, like maybe I'll dip my toe in a little bit, but I'm not gonna like pivot into hyper pop because that seems like the new shit, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's weird. Like you have to make that decision, I guess, at some point.
I was thinking about like, you know, like kind of like music, like cycles, like kind of cyclical.
Right.
And you know, like punk rock, like when the punk rock like movement like happened in the 80s, it was basically like a reaction to like disco being super popular. Like before that in the 70s.
Yeah, everything was so clean and polished.
You know, so clean and polished. People got all dressed up. They went dancing. And everything was happy and disco. And then the younger kids who were kids at that time, when they turn into teenagers, they're like, this shit is lame. Like, we're going to do the exact opposite and just be super dirty and punk rock. You know what I mean? And I kind of feel like rap, at least maybe not, it's maybe more so on the way out now, but definitely like a few years ago, 2017, 2016, was like really kind of in a punk rock era. Mm. Like that whole kind of like SoundCloud, like, you know what I mean? Like it was kind of like the rap's version of punk rock. They even kind of dressed like punk
Odd
rock.
Odd Future was the most punk moment, you know, in rap in like the last 15 years, for sure. That was the most different shit that had happened in rap that completely opened up rap to a totally different type of kid.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of shit like that. ASAP Mob was around the same time.
I mean, think about XXXTentacion.
Right. Like, that's a few years later, but for sure.
Red,
yeah.
they even dressed like punk rockers, kind of. You know what I'm saying? Like with like the spikes and shit. Like XXXTentacion. Like for sure dressed kind of like a punk, like like, you know what I mean, like he got some like wearing shit like you could have seen at Hot Topic,
and he had those ideals as well, like he wasn't stressing like, oh, I need mad jewelry or I need nice clothes or whatever. I remember he got out of jail and like went to the Gucci store, and then I never saw him in Gucci after that. Like he bought a couple polo shirts and like was rocking them all hard, and then I think he realized like, maybe that's not me. Like, I'm going to fall back on that.
You ever think, like, how crazy that is that, like, you had, like, one of his first interviews and, like, that's, like, now it's, like, a legendary thing. You know what I mean? Like,
that was what convinced me of, like, oh, this is really important. Yeah, like, this is not just, like, a cool thing that I'm doing that's, like, going to give me some clout and some YouTube views and shit. That was, like, definitely a moment where I'm, like, oh, this shit could be really important and, like, do a lot of, like, just document the raw state of somebody's life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and documenting like it's almost like musical history too.
Yeah,
because you think about him, it's like how impactful he was. And
it
like,
still gets so many views every month. It still like kind of just blows my mind. Like it's been on YouTube for like whatever, like 6 years or whatever. But I always think about that. Sometimes I'm watching YouTube videos from like 12 years ago, and I'm like, fuck, like some of my YouTube videos are gonna like 20 years from now. People are going to be talking about this dude, and like they're going to go watch my interview, and it's going to say 20 years ago this was posted.
Yeah,
that kind of fucking trips me out. Like, you're really creating it's like important.
It's like Rolling Stone. It's kind of like the modern day Rolling Stone, like of YouTube, like of the internet. You know, because back then it's like they just had magazines and shit to document like where artists and musicians, and it's like now it's kind of like the modern day equivalent. You know?
Yeah, and what's crazy is if you look at the views on that video, you chart his career because you see like it comes out a little whatever, and then all of a sudden he starts blowing up. It's got these big fucking spikes on it. Then he passes away. Boom! It gets 2 million views in a day. It's like you see like the waves of interest, and it just honestly like fucks me up just being able to see that through the analytics. And like that's the story of him as a public personality, and it's just charted through this interview, because that was like one of the only ways where people could go and try to figure out who this kid was, you know?
Yeah, that's fucking crazy, bro. You know, rest in peace to him, and that's rad that you were able to, you know, like do something like that.
It really put me on the map in terms of like the whole music industry too. It was like kind of changed everything for me, and he like he knew that, and like kind of like even like when I did the interview, it was like there was a weird understanding where like he knew that he was giving me a gift even if I didn't really understand it yet.
That's wild. Yeah, he definitely kind of seems like he kind of had like almost like a Tupac like you know, like sort of like sixth sense about like, you know, like the path of his life is kind of crazy, you know, just like that last video he did, like trippy shit, you know?
Remember that? Yeah. I mean, he's like one of the biggest artists of all time that never really did a real video. He did that one video, but it's like the weirdest fucking video, like not really what you normally would think of for a music video, and then I think that was the only one.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy, man. It's really sad, you know. Rest in peace, like. But it's good that you were able to document his, you know, for his impact. You know,
I got to end this because my boy AD is about to start his live podcast.
Me,
no, yeah, it was awesome. Like,
yeah,
really
it's a
good,
pleasure.
Good time. Glad we got to have a conversation and just sort of talk about shit, man.
Hell
appreciate
yeah.
you for real.
Hell yeah, bro. I appreciate you.
Hey, we got to go to the club soon.
I'm ready.
My boy AD bailed on me for tonight, but we're going to schedule that. We got to make that happen.
Let's do it.
That would be a real white boy summer.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Chet Hanks, No Jumper. Check us out on YouTube. Check out extras on patreon.com/No Jumper. Like, comment, subscribe, nojumper.com if you want to support.
Hell yeah.
Appreciate y'all.